This is the Education Exchange with Paul Peterson. I am the senior editor at Education Next. Thank you for joining us. Charter schools experience steady increases in enrollment every year up until the COVID pandemic throughout the 21st century, but they could be facing a turning point. The school age population is declining. Fewer students are showing up for school. Truancy is rampant and political opposition to charter schools has intensified. The nation's largest charter school system is not immune to these trends. According to a recent report by Ben Chapman in the 74, the increasingly prominent online source of information for all those interested in education, well, according to Ben Chapman's report, more charter schools are to be found in Los Angeles than in any other city in the United States. But despite their popularity over the course of several decades, enrollment trends are turning sour. So to discuss these factors in Los Angeles and the way things are going, I'm pleased to have with me on the Education Exchange today, Ben Chapman, the 74 reporter. So thank you, Ben, for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, Ben, first, let me ask you about charter school enrollments in Los Angeles. Are they actually declining or are they not increasing? Or just, can you elaborate that point?
Yes, I can. Charter school enrollment in Los Angeles is actually declining. Admissions to charter schools have declined about 11% since 2021. Which is when they peaked. In 2021, charter schools in LA enrolled for almost 168,000 students. They now serve north of 150,000 students. So we've seen a decline in recent years in charter school enrollment in LA, and that's following decades of growth, as you pointed out.
So now, is that decline in the number of schools as well as the number of students, or are there just fewer students at each school?
That's a decline in the number of students. The growth rate of new schools has also stopped. There are zero applications for new charter schools to Los Angeles Unified this year. Los Angeles Unified is the largest authorizer of charter schools in the country, and this year they have zero applications for new charters. In the boom years, 10 years ago, there would be dozens of applications coming in each year. Basically, due to declining enrollment, instead of opening new charter schools in Los Angeles, charter schools are shutting down, and they are sort of, trying to stay afloat. And this is amid the picture of the shrinking enrollment in the city generally.
Well, now, how about the percentage of total enrollment in Los Angeles, total public school enrollment? Has that gone down too? Or is it just part of a broader decline?
That has not gone down. Charter schools enroll about 1 in 5 students in LA. And that figure's been steady for a few years, and it was increasing, for years, they still account for about north of 20%, or roughly 20% of enrollment in the district, which is a larger chunk of the district, than many cities.
Now, you don't find that very many places around the country. Washington, D.C., I think, has something like 50%, but the number of big cities that have 20% of their kids in charter schools is, that's an unusually large percentage. Now, have they just sort of reached a saturation point? Quite apart from the other things we might discuss here, is this just, once you reach 20%, you've identified the population that's looking for an alternative to your district school?
That's an interesting question. And I think the answer to that sort of depends on where you're sitting. In the school board meetings that I attended, critics of charter schools, the members of the school board who had pushed for tighter controls on co-locations and things like that, those folks, you know, said, enough is enough. We have enough charter schools. And the operators of charter schools have said, you know, or the backers of charter schools, you know, would say, well, you know, we don't have high quality schools in every neighborhood. And isn't that our goal, is to have high quality school options for every family? Therefore there is still work to be done. I think that it's an interesting question to sort of wonder if there's like a number that reflects demand, if there's a number at which like we have enough, like this is what the market will support. I don't know the answer to that question.
Well, so, you know, one possibility or one way of getting at that is to look at how many people are on the waiting list. That's often what charter schools refer to. We've got, you know, twice as many people on the waiting list as we have students in our schools. We should have more schools. I've heard that argument in lots of places. Do you have any sense of whether or not there's a lot of students on the waiting list for some of the schools?
I do. I think that there are students on waiting lists for some schools, but I think generally there are not students on waiting lists for charter schools. As I wrote in my piece, KIPP SoCal shut down 3 schools this year due to declining enrollment. This is KIPP, you know, which is well-regarded, well-resourced organization with, you know, name recognition in the space. And, they closed schools recently. They're not the first charter school outfit to do that recently. There have been 17 different charter schools that have closed in the district since the 1920 school year, with low enrollment cited as the driver of those closings. Part of what's happening here is that charter schools are better positioned to close schools than the district is. The district has not closed any schools. The district has a sort of compact with the public, where they, the roots in their schools, in the district run schools, you know, they're older institutions. And there's a give and take with the public. There's the elected school boards, that's involved.
Well,
there's
yes, but that, look at, they've been receiving enormous amounts of money, from the federal government in the last 2 to 3 years under COVID relief and all kinds of other stuff that's come out of Washington. The last, there's been 4 packages that the schools have really benefited from. And so the amount of money that's available to the public school systems around the country is just, we've never seen anything like it before. Isn't this, that could come to an end if the Republicans are able to get control in Washington. They are not going to keep that going. So isn't it just a matter of time before you're going to see shutdowns in the school districts as well as in the charters?
Absolutely. I suppose my point was more that charter schools are able to shut down schools. The district probably wishes it could shut down schools, but there'll be a hue and cry from the families who are impacted, just as there are when charter schools close. But the difference is that there are elected school board members who install the superintendent in the public school system, And those folks are sensitive to, you know, community outrage about these things.
Yeah, my daughter was once working with the school board in one of the biggest cities in the United States. They decided to close 19 schools, and there was a mobilization of families across the city that, you know, the school board was kept up all night long until the early hours of the morning. They did close the schools, but boy, was it a painful process. So I know what you're saying.
The other feature of the landscape that I should mention is labor, organized labor, the unions, you know, which are opposed, you know, in most cases, you know, I've noted unions are typically opposed to the closure of schools, and charter schools don't typically employ organized labor. So that's another, you know, thing that makes it more difficult for districts to close school, even though in Los Angeles, the district is seeing steeper enrollment declines than the charter school sector is.
Yeah, I think your report says 16% decline in enrollment.
That's 16% decline in enrollment since 2016. And if you go back further, enrollment in LAUSD peaked around 2002, around 20 years ago, give or take, with nearly 740,000 students. So the big picture is a shrinking number of students in a system that's funded on a pure per pupil basis. And, you know, the declining demand, you know, is sort of creating a competitive situation where the district is feeling the pinch more from charter schools. And
that's like having 17 jewelry stores in town and nobody wants to buy jewelry now. So they're going to fight over every last customer, aren't they?
The jewelry stores do well in Valentine's Day season, you know, but, you know, the rest of the year, you know, and right now, not just in Los Angeles, but around the country, it's not Valentine's Day, you know, for the jewelry store anymore, right? Districts around the country are confronting enrollment declines, and, you know, school closures are something that they're all loath to do, but it's something that, you know, is on the table in many places, or if they haven't already started doing it.
Well, some of this is just due to the worldwide decline in fertility in the United States is part of it. I mean, the United States has enjoyed high fertility rates compared to Europe for quite some time, but we're not immune to this trend towards, you know, no children or one child and not two children and especially not three children. So it's sort of, it's getting difficult for us to replenish our population except through in-migration. And I guess that's part of the story, right? There's just fewer kids.
That is sort of the that's the long and the short of it, you know, there are fewer kids, and, you know, hence there are fewer students in schools.
Then, of course, you know, I read about California, especially, you know, in the Wall Street Journal, they seem to run a story every other week on people leaving California because of too much regulation and too high taxes and too much of this and that. So how much of this is really just people leaving Los Angeles?
I would say a lot of it is people leaving Los Angeles. The enrollment declines in Los Angeles are 20 years old, right? I wouldn't be able to say off the top of my head what the birth rate declines look like compared to the enrollment declines in Los Angeles, but I'd bet my paycheck that the enrollment declines in Los Angeles are steeper than the birth rate declines. And you know, I think that the primary driver of folks leaving Los Angeles is the cost of housing there. In my travels, this is anecdotal from speaking to folks, you know, that's why, you know, what people cite as, you know, the one of the hardest things about living in LA, and one of the reasons why, you know, living outside of LA, an hour away, you know, it might be something that would be more attractive, you know, is that the cost of housing would be cheaper.
Yeah, well, yes. And of course, people are working at home now, more than ever. 20% of the population is working from home. And that was not the case before the pandemic. So we also, that gives you a lot more flexibility in deciding where to live. And so people may say, okay, I can go out where I think the schools are better, and I'll just, you know, not have to go in but one way, day a week to work.
And it's not just Los Angeles, but it's in urban centers around the country where we're seeing this happen. It's expensive, and it's because of this, it's a tricky place to raise a family, the city, the American city generally. And, you know, so that's why we see, you know, urban centers kind of leading the enrollment declines in school systems, you know,
well, right. We also see some issues with the fact that kids just don't want to go to school anymore. And do you have any idea as to whether or not this enrollment decline is concentrated among teenagers who've decided they'd rather go to work or just horse around rather than go to school? And to what extent is this little kids not wanting, their parents don't want them to go to school because they're afraid of crime on the way to school, or they're just fearful in general, why want to protect their kids?
Do you have that's any? That's an interesting question. I don't have an idea of, you know, if there are particular age groups where these enrollment declines are felt more than others. I do know that bringing students into the public school system is the, you know, one of the chief ways that Los Angeles and other districts are seeking to, you know, bolster their enrollment. And this, you know, in Los Angeles, has their tactic has been to create early education programs. And we've seen this in other cities as well. And so this is the idea, is to bring in kids, you know, at pre-kindergarten, make the city an attractive place to raise a child. And then the hope is that families will put their kids in kindergarten, and then the child will stay through graduation. You know, there are issues with chronic absenteeism since the pandemic. That has been, you know, something that has exploded in recent years. And this is students not showing up for school, kids who are enrolled in the school system, who would count as enrolled in these numbers that we're discussing, but who are not, you know, turning up to class on, you know, as often as they would have in previous years.
So we've been talking a lot about the demographics and the economic factors out there, but maybe it's politics that's really the real story here, because you spend a good deal of time in your report that says, you know, actually there's been a change in power in Los Angeles, and the union now has a one vote majority on the school board, 4-3, and the union's very hostile to charter schools. They wanted those kids coming to the Los Angeles District School. So, you know, they're saying charter schools can't locate in a district school. How much is this really is just the barriers to forming a charter school are much higher today than ever before in Los Angeles?
Well, they, you know, certainly the co-location policy, which bars charter schools from opening up in half of the district's school buildings, whereas, you know, just to, you know, put it out there, you know, the old situation was that if you wanted to open a charter school in Los Angeles and you want approval from the district, that they would give you space. You know, you could request space and they would give you space in a building. And the entire district, more or less, was eligible for this. And then just this year, they said, actually, you know, we're going to take half the district off the table for that. And the half of the district that they took off the table were schools that serve, you know, more vulnerable student populations, community schools that serve poor kids, schools that are part of the Black Student Achievement Plan, and schools that posted low marks academically. So these are typically the types of markets that charter schools like to go into. So this is a real impediment to opening new schools in Los Angeles now. And this was driven by the school board, you know, who is, you know, they, you know, hire the superintendent, and they issue directives, and the superintendent carries them out because he works for them. And it is true that the union friendly candidates 2 years ago won a majority in the school board, you know, giving them a one vote lead over the less union friendly, more charter school friendly board members. And they've flexed this muscle by taking half the schools in the district off the table for charter schools.
Well, that's pretty ironic. So that they would say, okay, you can have charter schools located with the district schools and half the district where there isn't such a need for charter schools, but where there is a need for charter schools, you can't do it.
Well, their argument, I mean, that's not the way that they frame it. The way that they frame it is that, you know, when we have a charter school in the building, when we have a co-location, that it's disruptive for the school that was already inhabiting that building. And that is sort of, you know, a phenomena that you hear about over and over again, you know, when you talk to educators around the country, not just in Los Angeles. No school, you know, is going to be particularly thrilled about having another school put into their school building. You know, and another irony in Los Angeles, though, is that, you know, because of the falling enrollment in the district, generally, you know, a lot of the school buildings are underutilized. So there is space, you know, but the schools that are in these buildings are comfortable having all this space, you know. So, you know, that's their argument against these co-locations.
It doesn't sound like a very efficient way of operating. And I get your point that, you know, nobody wants to have two schools in one building, or there's something odd about that. I agree. But why not close down some of those schools and let the charter schools have those, and then have more students in each school, so you don't have unutilized space.
Well, then you go back to the conundrum that we talked about earlier with districts like needing to close schools, but, you know, not wanting to do it because the local community always hates it and the school board is elected by the local community. So, you know, there we are. One of the conundrums of education right there.
Well, you mentioned in your piece that there's an election coming, and it looks as if there's going to be four seats up on the school board. Two incumbents are not running for re-election, so there's two open seats. And do you expect there's going to be a real battle for that control of the board in Los Angeles in the upcoming election?
I think there is going to be a real battle. If the charter folks can win one of those two seats, they will they'll tip the balance of power. So, you know, there'll be there's a fight going on now over those two seats. And in one of the races, I don't exactly have all the details of the names or the name of the district off the, you know, at the top of my head, but in one of the districts, there was recently the union withdrew its support of the candidate that it had been backing after some of his activity on social media came to light. And so that race in particular is one that, you know, could tip in the charter's favor. And, you know, if that happens, then, you know, the situation in Los Angeles could change and again become more favorable to charter schools. But the bigger problem of falling enrollment, you know, while rates of enrollment decline are slowing, according to the district, you know, falling enrollment or steady enrollment, you know, a lack of growth in enrollment is going to be a feature of our landscape in education in Los Angeles and across the country, you know, until further notice.
Yes, indeed. Now, you know, in Los Angeles, they made a big move when they hired Alberto Carvalho. He was the outstanding superintendent in Miami. Miami had lots of charter schools. That would be one place where you saw about 20 to 30% of the kids going to charter schools, just like in Los Angeles. And yet he used that as leverage to really improve the quality of the schooling in Miami in general, so that Miami really looks very good compared to other big cities around the country. Now, so everybody sort of expected him to do the same thing in Los Angeles. He's been there now for 2-3 years. What's your sense of it? Is he having an impact in Los Angeles like he did in Miami, or is it not so easy?
I think that Carvalho works for the board. So Carvalho was compelled to write this co-location policy and preside over other policies that are, you know, edicts from the board. I don't think that the district's posture around charter schools that we're seeing right now is a reflection of Carvalho's, you know, personal attitude toward charter schools. My impression is that he is much more of a moderate around charter schools compared to some of the folks on the board. And I think that in the creation of this policy, you know, this wasn't something that he drove. And when he, you know, presented the policy to the board, he said that, you know, this is one of the scenarios in which nobody's going to be happy. And, you know, this is our policy. And if it doesn't stand up to the law, or if it needs to be changed in the future for some reason, we will have the courage to make changes to it. So, you know, I think that, you know, as far as charter school goes, that Carvalho's carrying water for the district. For the board, he does what they want. And I do think the issue of charter schools is highly politicized for the board. More generally, I tend to think that Carvalho is doing a pretty decent job as superintendent in Los Angeles. As you point out, he was highly regarded for his work in Miami. They tried to bring him over to New York, you know, and he almost went to go work in New York and backed out of that job at the last minute, and then Los Angeles ended up luring him out of Miami. I think that, you know, Los Angeles has done okay. compared to some other places in terms of the academic recovery from the pandemic, particularly on the NAEP exams, the math scores. The district did very well. Carvalho attributed this to targeted tutoring programs. But generally, the district, in my coverage of the pandemic, generally, I would have said Los Angeles did a decent job sort of, you know, maintaining some sort of coherence during the pandemic. And, you know, it's reflected in their test scores.
So, Ben, thank you very much for this inside account of what's happening in the largest city west of the Mississippi, and really a bellwether for what's happening in the charter sector nationwide. So thank you for joining me on the Education Exchange.
Oh, my pleasure. It was great talking with you. Thank you.
I've been speaking with Ben Chapman. He's a reporter for The 74. His most recent posting is entitled, "The Nation's Biggest Charter School System is Under Fire in Los Angeles." I am Paul Peterson. This is The Education Exchange. Please join me for a new podcast released on the Education Next website every Monday at noon Eastern Time.